soybean harvest is underway in Indiana. Harvest updates are on the way here on Hoosier Ag This Week. We are ready to run down the top news and information from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture from our team here at Hoosier Ag Today. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer in West Lafayette, and I chat with one of my close neighbors here in Tippecanoe County to get his sense of what kind of crop he's sitting on this year, while my colleague C.J. Miller gets an update from Orange County in southern Indiana. Greg Allen shares why fertilizer prices are on the rise again, and Andy Eubank will provide a market update in just about 5 minutes from now. Let's start today's show discussing the weather with Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. With harvest upon us, it's time for our weekly harvest weather forecast segment with Ryan, and it's presented by Beacon Credit Union.
Wishing all our farmers a safe and successful harvest, I'm Gus Lukens, your ag lender at Beacon Credit Union. Ag people serving ag people.
The harvest window in Indiana remains open for now. That window may be closing, but Martin says to start the weekend on Saturday.
We will continue to see well above normal temperatures, a southwest flow, not exceptionally breezy. A large-scale upper-level low sitting off to our west and northwest in the northern plains and upper Midwest, and it's going to be slowly but surely eking towards us, throwing some moisture in. But I am not looking at any kind of serious precipitation potential at all the way through Saturday night.
Martin says we finished the weekend with the first waves of that upper-level low trying to rotate through the Great Lakes and Eastern Corn Belt.
I think on again, off again, scattered showers for Sunday is something we have to keep our eye on. Maybe only about 60 to 70% coverage, but moisture is there. It lingers through Monday and Tuesday, all still part of that northern upper low. And so I think we're going to be looking at combined moisture to finish the weekend and start the week somewhere in that 10th to 1 inch range, with coverage around 80 to 90% of the state.
Once that low dies out, Martin is watching another come in from the south.
It's got moisture coming off the Gulf of Mexico and rotating right up into Indiana, Ohio, Illinois. I'm looking for additional scattered showers in here next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're taking out the dryness as this next new system is dominating. I could be looking at some delays in harvest all the way through next week. Now, not getting overrun with rain, but just constantly seeing some rain threats around.
If you're looking for more forecast details, and of course you are, you're in the farming business. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has his Indiana Farm forecast in less than 10 minutes from now. You can also find it in written form at HoosierAgToday.com, presented by Beacon Credit Union. Fertilizer prices appear to be on the rise again, raising fresh concerns for farmers. Greg Allen has the story.
After a period of relative stability, prices for key fertilizer components like nitrogen, phosphate, and potash have climbed steadily over the past month. Industry analysts point to several factors, including high energy costs, supply chain disruptions, and reduced exports from major producers like Russia and China. Faith Parham, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says there are two main factors driving up the cost of fertilizer for farmers and ranchers.
The big drivers are energy costs, mainly because nitrogen fertilizers rely on natural gas. And so other countries have had decreased production due to conflict, as well as geopolitical disputes. Overall, there will just again be that uncertainty as, you know, the world continues to move around through these geopolitical disruptions.
But higher fertilizer prices don't just affect farmers. The added cost often ripple down the supply chain, from grain and vegetable producers to grocery store shelves, potentially pushing food prices higher for consumers already feeling inflation in other areas. Government agencies are monitoring the situation closely, and some agricultural groups are calling for temporary relief measures or subsidies to help offset the increased cost.
Farmers really just need to be aware and monitoring the market ahead of the next year. And so staying flexible and planning for this volatility will help, you know, manage higher input costs, as well as just being aware of higher input costs across the board.
While it's too early to say how long this trend will last, experts warn that continued volatility in global markets could keep fertilizer prices elevated well into 2026. Read more about it at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer on Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. More farm news coming up, including those harvest updates from northern and southern Indiana. And we'll hear about some squabbling happening in D.C. over stopgap funding and the use of tariffs. But right now, let's take a look at the markets. For that, we welcome in Andy Eubank. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Eric Pfeiffer. And we do have mostly lower numbers to talk about from Friday trade coming up on the market review. First, in the middle of the session, I checked in with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading for his outlook on the markets. Markets back and forth on Friday to end the week. And Brian, it looked like a little bit of short covering going into the weekend, and we'd have a nice close to the week. It did not hold up, especially in beans, so a reversal at about the middle of the session. What happened?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I do think it was back and forth, and I think we're looking at one of our first big harvest weekends, as it were, potentially. Not everyone is going. I don't want to give that impression at all, but where the weather permits, I think we're going to see a decent harvest weekend across parts of the Midwest, so you may see some pre-harvest hedging here ahead of the weekend there. I think that applies to both corn and beans. We're seeing some highly variable yield results. Some are disappointing, but some are record. Again, it's so early in the harvest yet. We're probably looking at somewhere around 10% done nationwide, maybe a bit more than that on both crops as we enter this last half of September. So we just got to be patient. But I think the market is just taking a wait-and-see approach on yields. And a lack of a trade deal with China, I think, is still weighing, overhanging beans a bit. And we'll just see how that shakes out moving forward. But couldn't hold the gains early. And I think some of that was just some pre-harvest hedging on Friday.
The theme going into each and every session seems to be, or can be anyway, lack of news to move the markets higher. Is that primarily lack of a Chinese trade deal to announce?
I think that's got to be at the front burner at this point, Andy. We're looking at our largest importer of beans by far, and they've bought zero so far for 25, 26. So each day that passes, you wonder if China can make it through September, October, November with basically taking no U.S. beans. The size of the Brazilian crop that was completed earlier this year seems to be bigger than what USDA says at 169. CONAB came out at, I believe, a little over 171. And this is, again, for the crop that was harvested earlier this year. But the fact being is it seems like China, for the moment, either has enough in their cupboard, if you will, the stocks that they built up, and the fact that they're continuing to get their supplies from Brazil. They may not have to buy U.S. beans. So, and the other thing you know, too, is, again, during harvest, especially, sometimes a market needs to be fed bullish news to keep its footing, as it were, because you do have some harvest pressure every year as producers sell some crop for cash flow.
Brian Basting, Market Analysis. Brian is with Advanced Trading. His number is 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The settlements from trade on Friday mixed and right around even in the corn market. Deese up a quarter cent at 424. March down a quarter, 441 and a quarter. Everything else fractionally lower. 12 cents lower. November beans, 1025 and a half. Jan contract, 1044 and three quarters down. 11 and three quarters, and a penny and three quarters off on December wheat, 522 and a half. The meats mostly higher. October live cattle, 233.57, up 120. October lean hogs, 97.97, up a half dollar. That's our market recap here on the weekend show. Much more still to come. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
Look, the producer is fixated on the economics of their production system. We have to start there, because if I go to them and I say, I have a solution for a disease problem, but it's not going to produce better. There's no sale. They're not going to adopt. And so we've taken on the challenge that the fundamental approach needs to be, we need to be convincing around how we can help their performance economically, and then realize the full potential of the other benefits that the product may have around animal welfare and environmental sustainability, antimicrobial resistance, food safety. Those are all things that they care about, but in many ways, secondarily to, I got to have a high producing chicken or a high producing cow. And if I can't get that first, I shouldn't be spending money on it.
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rain stays in the forecast as we approach this upcoming week. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's weekend weather update, focusing, as always, at this time of year on harvest, and it is brought to you by Beacon Credit Union. I have rain in the forecast. It's interesting because normally at this time of year, we don't want rain. Everybody's talking about how, Ryan, give me some dry windows of opportunity. And this year, as we've started harvest off, that's been so dry that moisture in crops that are coming off is way low. Almost everybody that I talked to was saying, yep, I would be fine if you are right and correct and we get rain all week long this coming week. We will take it. I'm not sure how long it will be until we get complaints back, but we will see. Let's talk through this forecast. It does have some moisture in it. Over the weekend, we start the same way we finished off this past week, and that is warm and dry. But radar picture will show you here today that we've got moisture sitting just to our west. Illinois picking up some scattered showers. Those will try and work in here, but running into this very dry core of air, I think most of them evaporate. If you're in western tier counties, watch for the odd shower today. Now, as we go through the overnight tonight into tomorrow, I do think we see significant precipitation potential trying to come together. Initially, it's just light stuff for your Sunday. But then as we get into the overnight Sunday night through Monday time frame, a reinforcing surge comes in from the west and more so southwest. And that gives us good opportunity through the day on Monday. I think Sunday, Monday combined, we can see anywhere from a tenth to almost 1 inch of moisture. The higher end of the range will come down to thunderstorms. Problem is, I don't see many thunderstorms here. Going into Tuesday, we see clouds linger and probably a few additional scattered showers trying to come back, especially Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night. Wednesday is the day this upcoming week that I believe is going to be fully dry. However, I also think there's going to be plenty of clouds around. We're not going to bake it right back with sunshine. Overnight Wednesday night, Thursday, strong area of low pressure slowly meandering through the Missouri boot heel and into Kentucky in the lower Ohio Valley gets going. That will trigger on again, off again showers and thunderstorms. That low wants to go more north northeast, running from the boot heel of Missouri into the Flint, Saginaw, Michigan area, probably as we move from Thursday to Saturday. So that right there is going to give us a track for moisture through next Friday. An additional half to 1 inch can fall combined out of those 2 days, and then we start to dry things down later Saturday afternoon through Sunday and into the next week. That following week is going to start dry Monday and Tuesday, but overnight Tuesday night, Wednesday, we have a frontal boundary coming through, could bring some strong rains, especially to southern Indiana. That's just as we're starting off the month of October. Behind it, we're cool and a chance for more rain late that week, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I'm Ryan Martin.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and USDA's latest crop forecast says we're going to have a record corn harvest this year of almost 17 billion bushels. And if there's one thing you likely learned in your high school economics class is that the more supply of any one product you have on hand, chances are the lower the price will be for that same product. But fortunately for corn producers, corn prices have been on the rise here recently due to the rise in ethanol demand.
They're pushing a lot of that extra corn into ethanol production. We had a record corn export program last year, and we actually reduced carryout stocks this month for the coming crop year or the current crop year because we raised exports.
And that's Seth Meyer, chief economist with USDA. The U.S. Energy Department says ethanol exports were up 36% by the first week of September, having earlier crossed the 1 billion gallon threshold. Troy Bradenkamp, Vice President of Government and Public Affairs with the Renewable Fuels Association, says it's important to continue to push your lawmakers to approve the year-round sales of E15 across the U.S. in order to give a further boost to corn and ethanol demand.
You're going to add at least 6 billion gallons of new ethanol demand to the American fuel market. That certainly helps soak up a lot of this carryover and this massive crop that'll be coming in this fall.
Braden Camp says 6 billion more gallons of ethanol would soak up 2 billion more bushels of corn. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, aside from the rise in ethanol demand, a lack of overall fresh news, either positive or negative, is causing the grain markets to trade in a sideways pattern here over the past several weeks. But that may likely change as harvest really gets into full gear.
I don't want to say we're beating a dead horse, but everybody is questioning the national yield. But are you going to do that every day?
That's Tom Fritz with EFG Group in Chicago. USDA first said we'd see record yields for both corn and soybeans back on August 12th. They made little change to those yield projections on September 12th.
Nobody believes the national yield is as high as the USDA says, but like I said, you can't use that as an excuse every single day.
Fritz says the lack of any fresh news is causing the grain markets to spin its wheels.
I think it's old news that U.S. corn is competitive to Brazil. In fact, it's cheaper than Brazil, given the break in the dollar and the rally in the Brazilian currency. Argentina, well, they're holding on to their money because of fear of economic reasons over there. So bottom line, long story short, the U.S. continues to be the place to buy corn.
Brian Basting with Advanced Trading says it may take several weeks, as well as a significant chunk of this year's harvest to be completed, to truly gauge whether USDA's yield projections for corn and soybeans are on target or off base.
I think by the second week of October, we'll know a lot in terms of both corn and beans. If the weather permits, we'll accelerate the bean harvest, of course, as you enter October, and we'll accelerate corn harvest moving forward beyond that. Maybe not a concrete feel. I don't want to give that impression, but definitely a better feel here than the third week in September.
Check out the full story. It's at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. It's a free download for iPhone and Android. As we pivot now from the cornfields of Indiana to Capitol Hill, the partisan fight over President Trump's tariffs spilled onto the House floor this past week during a debate over temporary government funding. With more, here's Eric Pfeiffer.
Democrats slammed the GOP majority for refusing to consider riders to end Trump's tariffs as part of the stopgap funding bill to keep the government open. House Ag Democrat Jim McGovern.
We are hearing day in and day out from farmers who are being crushed by Trump's erratic trade policies. They're losing markets abroad. Input prices are going up, and farm bankruptcies are up 95% this year compared to last.
California Republican Tom McClintock agreed with McGovern that the Constitution does give Congress ultimate tariff power, but defended the Speaker's deal to rein in executive authority to win votes of some GOP holdouts on government funding.
He promised that the next rule resolution would reduce the extension of this authority from 6 months to 4, expiring on January 31st rather than March 31st. The gentleman says that's not soon enough. Some of us would agree.
McClintock said the speaker did agree to form a GOP working group to develop a congressional policy on the use of tariffs.
Now, this is important because there are increasing signs of tariff-related damage to the economy. The gentleman is absolutely right on that point. And because the courts may be moving to restore the guardrails between the executive and legislative branches with respect to tariffs.
But most Republicans stood their ground behind the president, including Indiana's Aaron Houchin.
The tariffs imparted by President Trump are proving necessary to ensure fair trade, protect American workers, and reduce trade deficits by bringing other nations to the negotiating table.
Those nations include the EU, UK, and Japan, as they and others have made deals to win lower tariffs. But China, the biggest market for U.S. soybeans, is key, as the White House races to get that deal done before Congress or the courts close the door on the president's use of tariffs. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And there are many different careers in the ag bioscience industry, but many college students may not be aware of the ones that focus on environmental studies and sustainable agriculture.
I really want to work in conservation, and I know that conservation is such a big part of agriculture.
And that's Olivia Cartwright, a natural resources and environmental management major at Ball State University. She's also a Field Atlas Ambassador for Agrinovus Indiana. She says she's passionate about conservation biology and soil sciences, and she's excited to make connections with ag business owners and managers that she may not have been able to make on her own.
Joining Field Atlas means I get exposed to the world of agriculture, and it will help me expose myself to other people and network and learn about the industry.
Learn more about the Field Atlas program by visiting their website, myfieldatlas.com. Coming up, harvest updates from Orange County in southern Indiana and Tippecanoe County in northwestern Indiana. Coming up next, I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct. Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction. Every other Wednesday, they're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Well, thank you for hanging with us on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Greg Allen, the new guy, and I'll be driving this bus home this weekend. As you may well know, harvest is underway as Indiana's farmers are now hitting the fields. CJ Miller has an update for us from southern Indiana.
I am in the combine day one of corn harvest right here in Orleans, Indiana for our operation.
And that's CJ Fleener, a corn and soybean producer from Orange County.
Several of our local producers started rolling late last week. There was a few guys even started the week prior, but we did not have as much of the early April corn out as we would have liked to have, so we're kind of getting a little bit later start than where we wanted to be. We are seeing just how dry some of this corn may end up being, given what everybody's been talking about as far as the rust issues, and even though we use fungicide, some of this corn is just dead.
Aside from drought stress and disease pressure, he says there's another wild card that may end up having an impact on corn yields this year.
What I've noticed is a lot of people have not necessarily given thought to the acres they have that are holes in the fields. Seems like, while the soybeans got those holes spotted back in, corn just never dried out enough for them to be able to get back in there and spot that corn back in. So I think there's going to be some disappointment from those wet holes and the rust effects on corn.
And even though he says he's waiting until the end of this week to consider harvesting soybeans, he says there's still a lot of uncertainty about the beans in his area.
There's some pretty good looking beans out there. Just depends on where you were, the day you planted, and how much rain you got. I have a 50-50 split of guys that say, hey, I'm going to have the best bean crop of my life, or maybe the worst bean crop I've had in the last 10 or 15 years. I've heard both sides. I've got some guys that has cutting beans, and I've heard some great numbers and then some relatively disappointing numbers.
I'm CJ Miller.
Thank you, CJ. Let's talk about the word variable. That term has been used to describe Indiana corn and soybeans for several years now, but it may not be truer than it is this year. Eric Pfeiffer has more.
It's really a year of the haves and the have-nots. Who got timely rains and who didn't? Well, I spoke with Tippecanoe County farmer Kevin Underwood this week. He hasn't started harvest quite yet.
We were fortunate in this very narrow band of our part of the world that actually received between an inch and a little over 2 inches of rain over the weekend that delayed the Purdue football game. But we had gotten actually pretty good rain through the month of August. And so as a result, things are actually maturing as they should, and they're not just dying.
Underwood says his wife had been worried about the lack of rain ever since May, and it led to what he says was his mantra for this growing season.
There were so many areas that were having issues with excessive rain and not being able to get planted or trying to replant in spots and all these kind of things. And we had not up to that point. And I told her, she's like, well, we need to pray for rain. I was like, we need to pray for enough. And that is likely the best mantra I think we've had all summer long is like, just give us enough. And we've literally just every time we've gotten really, really dry, we've gotten enough. And I think we're probably going to be sitting on a pretty darn good crop.
And Underwood says he'll get harvest underway in the next week to 10 days. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And thank you, Eric. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to visit a most unique cattle operation in Logansport, Indiana. The owner is Zachary Miller, and what makes the operation so unique is, well, I'll just let Zach tell you.
Fourth generation cattle farmer, raised up in the cattle industry. My mom and dad, my grandpa and my great grandpa all raised cattle, cow-calf pairs, and fattened out all of our calves and sell freezer beef. I guess that's where I got my love for it.
Nothing extraordinary about that for rural Indiana, except Miller utilizes cowboy ranching techniques not typically found here.
We do everything horseback. I raise and train stock dogs, so whenever we're working cattle or doing anything like that, it's all on horseback with dogs. I can handle large groups of cattle with just me on horseback and a couple dogs.
He says that's the easy part.
There's two sides of the business. There's the work side and doing the chores every day and taking care of the cattle, but there's also the business side, and you got to do your bookwork and you got to keep up with your finances and your operation and just seeing your reports and your break-evens on the cattle and making business decisions, not just doing the work every day, because sometimes the business decisions you make can actually be more profitable than just showing up to work. You can't just work yourself to death and not be able to move the farm forward and grow and do what you want to do without having that goal in mind and where you want to be. When we first started, it was all pen and paper and Microsoft Excel, and that took a lot of time. I felt like I was double entering things. It just took a lot of my time up, doing a lot of book work after hours and taking away from family time.
Miller says he found a solution for the hard part in Performance Beef by Performance Livestock Analytics.
Performance Beef takes care of all my feed inventory, all my medicine inventory, doctoring, you know, out on horseback. I can just pull their app up, put the tag number in of the calf and the group it was in, and I can put in it was doctored, and it all goes straight to the cloud immediately, and I don't have to worry about record keeping or losing my records or anything like that.
You can find out more information about how Performance Beef can help manage your operation at performancelivestockanalytics.com, so you can get back to what you love to do.
We want to create just a part of an industry that allows us to do what we love and provide food for America, and we love doing that.
Thank you for joining me on this last segment of Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Greg Allen, and I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your weekend. We'll see you on Monday.